Hello and welcome. We're now back to our next lecture on real property. We delved into the nature and the interests of real property in our previous lecture. Tonight, we're going to talk about shared interests in land. Land is so valuable and so important. Remember, it means wealth, it means power, it means life. And because of that, you're allowed to share it. It is so valuable that other people are going to want to join with you in getting title to that. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Remember, last time we discussed definitions of real property, the importance of real property, the nature of real property, and the ceremony that we call livery of season, which was the ancient ceremony where the old town would get together and witness that transfer. Tonight, we're going to talk about shared interests in land, tenancy in entirety, and joint tenants and tenants in common. Let's jump right in. There's three types of what we call concurrent estates. That means it's owned by more than one person. It's titled ownership is shared. The first one is tenancy in the entirety. And that's a very special form of ownership because the only people who are entitled to own property as tenants in the entirety are married people. So husband and wife are the ones who get to own tenancy in the entirety. If you are married, you get to own by this means and methodology. It has a right of survivorship, and it says right in the deed that you're married, and that entitles you to all the rights as a tenancy in the entirety. The right of survivorship means that when your spouse dies, you get the property by operation of law. Its severance is limited. You get out of tenancy of the entirety by death. If you die, your spouse gets the property by operation of law. If you get a divorce, you get out of tenancy of the entirety. Why? Because you're no longer married because you've gotten a divorce. You can always get out of the tenancy of the entirety by agreement. If all of a sudden you don't want to own the property with your spouse, let's say your spouse is having serious credit issues because of their business or something, and you're worried that there might be a creditor that goes after the property. Well, you may want to transfer that to the other spouse solely on that basis. Or let's say your marriage isn't very good. You know, you're starting to divide up the assets. That's another thing. You can get out by agreement. So death, divorce or agreement, or by means of joint creditor execution. What is that? It's called foreclosure. If you and your spouse go into the bank to borrow money for the house and they get a mortgage on that house, and then you don't pay that mortgage or don't pay it sufficiently, the bank or the credit institution that gave you the money can foreclose on the property, and they can take what is known as a joint creditor execution, meaning foreclose on the house and take the house because you both sign the document as owners of the property. Now, a single creditor execution cannot take a house owned by a tenancy in entirety. So if you have one of your spouse who is a spendthrift, they run up credit cards, they take on all kinds of debt, and the other spouse does not. The other spouse pays all their debt. And that single creditor goes after the house. They can take a lien on the house, whereupon if the other spouse dies and the spouse who ran up the debt is now the single owner of the house, then they can execute against that single owner. But while their tenancy in entirety, they cannot execute that single creditor execution on the house. Why? They can only take a lien on it because its own together with your spouse, and they did not extend credit to that other spouse. They only extended it to you. So it's got to be a joint creditor execution, meaning that both parties agreed to accept the money, which is trying to be collected on it. So remember, it's a right of survivorship where the other party gets the house by operation of law. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to go to court. It automatically goes to the spouse in the event of the death of the other spouse. And its severance is limited, remember, only by death, only by divorce, agreement, or joint creditor execution. Okay, that's tenancy in the entirety. Remember, tenancy in the entirety, the two people who own the house have to be married. Now, joint tenancy. What is joint tenancy? It's created by unity of time, title, interest, and possession. It has, just like tenancy in the entirety, a right of survivorship. So if one of the joint tenants dies, the other one gets it. Its severance is less limited. If one of the parties tries to do an inter vivos conveyance, that means conveyance while they're alive, even a contract to convey, it's over. So if you try to sell your interest in the joint tenancy is over. Death, just like in tenancy in entirety, also does it, because just like tenancy in entirety, there's a right of survivorship and it allows for operation of law. Agreement as well. There's no divorce here because you're not owning it as married people, but an agreement to end the joint tenancy also does. We allow anybody to do basically anything and get out of any of these forms of ownership by agreement. And lastly, foreclosure on a lien. Just like an inter vivos conveyance will eviscerate the joint tenancy, a foreclosure on a lien will too. So as a result of that, you have many similar attributes to tenancy in entirety. It's a right of survivorship. It's joined by unity of time, title, and possession of two people. And as a result of this, you have ending it by an inter vivos conveyance of one of the person's interests, by a contract to convey, by death, agreement, or foreclosure. And lastly, we have tenants in common. That's different from the first two, where the first two are basically joint ownership amongst the two by time, title, interest, and possession. Tenants in common is a little different. It has no right of survivorship. If one of the joint tenants dies, or I'm sorry, if one of the tenants in common dies, the tenancy value goes to their heirs. Whereas joint tenancy, if somebody dies, it goes to the other tenant. In tenants in common, it doesn't go to the other tenants. It goes to the tenant who died heirs. It's also freely alienable. That means, unlike a joint tenancy, you could sell it. Even if the other parties don't agree to it, you can sell it. The joint ownership is based on percentage. So you own, whereas joint tenancy and tenancy in entirety is 50-50 proposition, tenants in common is based on the percentage. So if you have three owners, they have 1/3%. 1/3, 1/3, 1/3. If you have four of them, 25%, 25%, 25%, 1/4 each. Share responsible for gains and liabilities on a proportionate basis. So all the tenants share equally in the gains of the property and in the losses of the property. So if the property needs a new roof and there's four tenants, they each got to pay a quarter of the cost. If the value of the property goes up and they all decide to sell it, they each get a quarter of the gain. They share and are responsible proportionately for all gains and liabilities. Now, the reason you have all of these concurrent estates is because land is so valuable and people want to own it together. Tenancy in entirety is between married spouses. Joint tenancy is between people of unified time, title, interest, and possession. And tenants in common is merely joint ownership. And those three methods are the ways that you own property together. We'll see you next time.